The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
8 o'clock hour. Welcome, 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 or welcome back. As the case may be, great to have you here. Tomorrow at this time, actually 23 hours from now, tomorrow at 7:07-ish, I'm going to share with you something that will just make you, speaking of diving toward your phone or laptop or whatever, you're going to want tickets to the thing I'm going to tell you about tomorrow morning. Why? Because I'm part of it. That's not just the magic of me. In fact, I am but a servant to the event. It's whom we are bringing to town. And we are going to have a little something-something like a couple of weeks before the election. Can you imagine the fever pitch that's going to be existing at that time? All the Democrats talking, blue wave, woo, Ted Cruz going down. Uh-huh. Well, how energized are we going to be? How together are we going to be? How with it are we going to be? We're going to put an event on a stage. I'll tell you where that stage is, what the date is going to be. It's a couple of weeks before the election, so do your math, like late October, right? And you can come, and I'll be there. And whom will I be welcoming to that stage? Well, you'll find out 23 hours from now at the beginning of tomorrow's show. Oh, but once I announce it, I'll be mentioning it obsessively. So probably at the beginning of this hour as well, and shot throughout tomorrow's proceedings. News on what you can do to be at a particular place on a particular day for a particular election that is of vast, vast importance. All right, speaking of Cruz and O'Rourke, the whole debate thing is getting weird. Right back to your calls on the whole horrible Pennsylvania Catholic Church thing with just rampant pedophile priests, and it's incredibly depressing, but it's also incredibly necessary to pay attention to. The idea here was to have about five debates featuring Senator Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. And they were having trouble working on some dates, and the Cruz campaign put out an idea of about five debates starting in Dallas, starting at kind of, if it's at Channel 5, that's actually technically, they're in that stretch of 360, it's technically Fort Worth, isn't it? Fort Worth or Euless or wherever, that massive, amazing Starship Enterprise that is the Channel 5 headquarters. You ever been in that thing? It's something. Anyway, wherever it's DFW somewhere, and in August 31st, and it looked like, and then there were a bunch of debates spread throughout September and October on various subjects. You know, you'd have, you know, some subject in Houston, some subject, one down in McAllen. I'm guessing that one's on immigration, and a number of other things. And it looked like it was kind of a done deal. I think the Cruz campaign said, okay, we got them. The five are out there. Here we are. And then the Beto campaign says, oh, we've agreed to nothing. So it's like, wait, what? So let's just get this together. I'll tell you a question I have. And next time we have Ted on, and that's never too far away, I think Governor Abbott and Lupe are doing this as well. What's with the debates on the Friday nights? What, I mean, guys, we're the Republicans in a red state. We're the conservatives, and we enjoy talking to people about our conservatism. I mean, the whole thing we're talking about Lupe Valdez for governor, about Beto O'Rourke for Senate, about Colin Allred for Congress, and then 32nd District with Pete Sessions, is that they're not going to be telling you what they are really for. They're not going to be telling you how socialist they really are. They're not going to be telling you, and you know, Beto will not be telling you how much he wants to destroy your tax cut. Beto will not be telling you how much he wants to smooth the path towards citizenship for illegal immigrants. Beto will not be telling you how much he will vote for Supreme Court justice justices or vote against Supreme Court justices that will honor the Constitution. The Beto ads are going to have all kinds of happy rooms. Oh, here I am in Kerrville with 400 happy Democrats. Great. I'm glad you went to the pancake breakfast. But what do you really stand for? Ted Cruz will wear you out telling you what he stands for. And it's awesome. And it's great. And yet, all these debates, or many of them, are on a Friday night, which is like the least watched TV night anyway, and then throw in high school football, and it's like, what? So I have questions. But anyway, they are secondary to the debates themselves actually happening, and I know, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. And here's another thing. I'm messing around with this on Twitter during yesterday afternoon and evening. And then people start weighing in with various pet races of theirs. Well, why? How come this guy won't debate this guy at all? I mean, you talk about five debates, And listen, isn't the fact that Ted wants to debate Beto five times evidence that he's pretty eager to get onto a debate stage with O'Rourke? And he should be. And he should be. And again, as I told you yesterday, don't be thinking that Ted Cruz is going to mop the floor with Beto O'Rourke. Remember when we had the Trump-Hillary debates? Like, oh, it's gonna, oh, she's going to be brought to a sobbing heap. It's going to be ugly, man. He's going to destroy her. And of course that didn't happen. Of course it didn't. She's a smart woman. She has a lot of points to say that about half of America kind of agrees with. So it's not like this is going to be some, you know, some terrible spectacle. This is not going to be Ben Shapiro versus Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Oh, on that. And this has all become such a spectacle. You know, people running for actual office being goaded into debates by, you know, media stars. But that would be fun. That would be fun. Someone has catcalled Ben Shapiro. And I want this one to happen because it would at least be a fair fight. My money would still be on Ben Shapiro, as it will always be, as it should always be, in a debate versus anyone about virtually anything. But somebody shot a little something to Ben Shapiro and said, why are you bothering people who are running for office? Why don't you debate me? Because we have something in common. I'm a short guy. What is a short guy that doesn't matter in anybody's life or something like that? And that would be very heavily politically charged and yet really at times brilliant comedian Patton Oswalt. That would be a pay-per-view. That would be enjoyable. But on the earlier point, let me throw you the phone numbers as we begin. 866-660-5759, 866-660-5759. As we work our way through all of these debate conundra, is that a plural of conundrums? Debate brouhahas, debate Donnybrooks. When you have Cruz wanting to debate Beto O'Rourke like five times, the usual thing is, and that's evidence that Ted does not view this as a race that he's just going to walk to victory. Okay? And we know that's true because Democrats are fired up. Beto O'Rourke, you know, please understand this, is a very good candidate. He's a better candidate than Wendy Davis. He is a better candidate than most Democrats who offer themselves up sacrificially to be steamrolled in some corner of Texas or statewide. And Ted's going to have to fight for this one, just as Pete Sessions is going to have to fight for this for his race against Colin Allred, because Colin Allred is a Nancy Pelosi Democrat. And people are going to have to be reminded of that every day between now and Election Day. And by the way, I'm glad to do that. That when you get to people who are presumed to win and win big, and the one that people kept talking to me about last night, how come Dan Patrick, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, isn't, you know, like debating five times against his opponent, who's a gentleman named Mike Collier? That's because Dan is going to crush Dan Collier by 35 points. And you can either like this or not like this. It's true at every level. If it's simply true that you're going to destroy an overmatched opponent, you don't debate that person five times, because you know what a debate is. If I'm running against you, okay, how shall I put this? I am challenging you, and you have a and my chance of beating you is zero. You're a firmly entrenched incumbent. There's no reason for you to come close to losing. And you have a 40-point lead on me in the polls. Are you going to debate me five times? What are you, stupid? Because you know what a debate's called? It's an opportunity for you to screw up. It's an opportunity for me to say something, do something, take advantage of some gaffe. So, and people give you, oh, that's kind of cowardly. Nah, what it is smart. You'll probably get one debate, maybe two, out of a lot of races where there is a prohibitive favorite, and everybody who's the underdog there goes, oh, what? Underdogs want to debate every day at noon because they know full well that every debate is an opportunity to catch somebody who's in front of you by 30 points, because it's really all you can do. You're not magically all of a sudden going to be able to raise $50 million to catch that person. You know, you're not all of a sudden going to develop a groundswell of new volunteers at your website to go catch that person. But if there's a debate, some horrible gaffe that enables you to take advantage of that and catch that person, you want that all day long. And prohibitive frontrunners know this, and that's why you don't get a whole lot of debates featuring contests where the result is so obviously known. I don't know squat about Mike Collins. Well, I do. I mean, I've read the website, and he has a business background. I like business backgrounds, and good for him. Dan Patrick is going to absolutely eat him alive for lieutenant governor. Letitia Vandepute, a well-known legislator, ran against Dan Patrick in 2014. He squashed her, but we kind of knew who she was, and she was sort of familiar. She was a San Antonio area legislator, and, you know, so I don't know, how many debates did they have? One or two? So it'll happen. It will happen at some point. It's just the nature of the beast in terms of debates. All right. It's not really a debate over when horrible news arises, like those various dioceses in Pennsylvania that contain those hundreds of predator priests. But the conversation is how much more of this still lies beneath the surface. What needs to happen in order for there are two things that are necessities here as we go to your calls. One is the discovery of every offender, the punishment of every offender, and so that this cleansing can take place, so that when you hear stories about the Catholic Church, I mean, I would love for the most troublesome story about the church to be, you know, the latest crazy, wacky, leftist thing that Pope Francis said. I'd love for that to be the worst thing that I could talk about, rather than the grotesque victimization of children over a 70-year period in various dioceses in Pennsylvania. We're in Grand Saline. Bob, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Hi, Mark. This is your friend, Bob, the boxing barrister.
Oh, hey, how are you doing, sir? Nice to see you.
Pretty well. So a couple of points I'd like to make. Before the break, you talked about the extension of statutes of limitation.
Yes, thank you.
On these types of cases. So if you've had a chance to look at the indictments of these Catholic priests, this is incredibly detailed. There's 1,150 pages, something like that. So it's not like the evidence is not there.
Yep.
And in a case like this, where by definition, the victims are not mature enough to tell their stories in real time.
And won't be believed if they do.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So if ever there was a situation in which the statutes of limitations should be extended, if not eliminated,
I'll go with eliminated.
This has to be one of them.
Yeah. Am I right that is it universal or almost universal that there's no statute of limitation on murder?
I believe that's correct.
Because that just seems like the right thing to do. Was I also correct that the argument for statutes of limitation is that after a certain amount of time, evidence deteriorates, memories falter, and there's just something that's not real fair about coming at somebody with charges 40 years down the line about various crimes?
Of course, and yeah. That's what you're taught in law school. And yet, if ever there was a case like murder where people's lives are being destroyed,
yep,
this is certainly it. So,
yeah.
Point number one. Point number two, you know, I think a lot of us have mixed feelings about Jeff Sessions. But if there is one thing, and you can look at the Department of Justice website that he is doing, he is going after pedophiles and other people committing crimes against children with unbelievable rigor and passion. And again, as you said, this is something that needs to be focused on, not just when there's a flare-up story of the day, but it needs to be brought to everyone's attention every single day.
Exactly right. Hey, let me thank you enormously. This gentleman, this is one of the great calls of a couple of months ago or something. Bob does a lot of legal work and does a lot of legal work with the WBC, World Boxing Council. And a mere days later, I did a Crossroads Diner. I think it was the Father's Day book signing. I think that was what we were doing. And he came by and he brought this massive, gaudy WBC belt that I hung over my shoulder for a picture. I think I threw my shoulder out of whack. Thanks for that, counselor. But then gave me this wonderful coin that I gave to Ethan, this commemorative thing for that. And I just want to thank you enormously for that. Now, there was an event we were plugging. Did that event come and go? Has it happened?
Yes, Errol Spence. It was a knockout in the first or second round. So it was anticlimactic, but for those who paid up to go, they said it was the experience. It's one of those things where you say to a fighter, hey, should you carry your opponent? It's a business. If you can put them away in the first, you put them away in the first.
I know. There's danger. It's kind of funny. We were just talking about prohibitive favorites in politics, prohibitive favorites in boxing. If you're fighting me and you're just going to kill me because I'm just not nearly as good as you, there is an argument about what you do for the paying fans. So if you kind of lull me along for a second or third or a fourth round, just like in a political debate, a gaffe is always possible. If I just catch you with one lucky punch, I'll beat you. And that means it wasn't real smart to keep me afloat for four or five.
You go for the win. You just got to go for the win.
Talking
about events, incredibly timely here. Dallas right now is hosting the Crimes Against Children Conference.
That's timely.
There are 5,000 law enforcement, social workers, and other people that are at the Sheraton. I had the privilege to attend an event on Monday, including a small luncheon with John Walsh, who was talking about all these issues. And, I think the most profound point that he made was that, if you're trying to save the whales or the polar bears, everyone is willing to crack their checkbook open or, this is something that makes everyone feel good.
Yeah.
But these kinds of crimes against children are so horrifying that we want to turn our eyes away. We don't want to talk about these things. And all I would say is this event is being hosted by the Dallas Children's Advocacy Center. I'm looking for maybe a board position myself, because unless we're willing to look evil square in the eye and face it and make sure that people go to jail. I saw a story in the financial news yesterday about another Catholic diocese that has declared bankruptcy and blah, blah, blah because of cash payouts. Yeah. But unless people go to jail, there was a story yesterday about a German couple selling a child on the dark web that they kept in a cage. This happens all too often. And unless we're willing to look this evil square in the eye and have it be on the top of our minds every day, children are our most important resource, and we've got to fight for them.
Listen, while you were talking, thank you. Appreciate it, Bob. That's a cool guy right there. And this conference is ongoing right now, the Crimes Against Children Conference. And he mentioned John Walsh, whose son Adam was abducted from right under his nose back, 30-some years ago, and I'm sure it's on his mind every day. Did he kind of start America's Most Wanted? Anyway, John Walsh, an amazing advocate over the years for offenses against children, and it's at the Sheraton in Dallas going on like right now. And it has a website if you want to check it out, CAC, as in Crimes Against Children, cacconference.org. All right, speaking of horrible things that have happened to children, out in the wilds of Taos, New Mexico, that compound where they were treating kids horribly and, oh, by the way, training them to do mass shootings, have you sensed that it's kind of been underplayed, that was a whole lot of Islamist jihad nonsense going on out there as well? Well, a judge is allowing some of these folks to get out on bond. Tell you about that next. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 826. Oh, we got a rock and roll birthday. Oh, yes, we do. I've often referred to the real Doobie Brothers, the pre-Michael McDonald Doobie Brothers. From the Captain and Me, Tom Johnston. Now, Captain and Me also gave you a long train run in a song you probably know. This is Without You. Tom Johnston is 70 years old today. It's 866-660-5759. All righty, to the phones. Lots going on, plenty of things to do. I had the opportunity to chat with Beth Van Dyne. It's funny, we had Dr. Carson on with from HUD yesterday at this time, right? And I mentioned to him that the previous day we'd had our usual monthly Monday gathering near the Park City Club on Sherry Lane. And the special guest was Beth Van Dyne, who was mayor of Irving and now is HUD regional person for Texas and New Mexico and Oklahoma and Arkansas, Louisiana, and had all kinds of fascinating stories about how going from being a mayor to the federal bureaucracy. And I got an email from somebody who said, "Hey, Mark, how did that Ahmed Mohammed clock boy thing, how did that ever work out? The kid who in 2015, and it's a clock, and he said it was a clock, and I believe that he intended it to be a clock, and it's fine. But it was a timing device that had an alarm that went off. And the Irving officials there at school and with the police did exactly the right thing, responded exactly the right way. See something, say something. What the heck is that? Now, is this a Muslim kid? Yes. Would it have been the same reaction if a Scandinavian kid brings I don't know, and I don't care. This was see something, say something, and it immediately came under attack. Mayor Van Dyne came under attack. Anybody. Saying that this was proper vigilance came under attack. The folks at CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, that fraudulently titled outfit, they plugged in and it was an attack on see something, say something. Then the parents started to try to turn this into a lottery ticket, filing lawsuit after lawsuit against Mayor Van Dyne, against Irving, against the schools, against the police. How'd that all wind up? It got kicked out of court. It got dismissed earlier this year. Thank God. I don't place that much blame on the young man. I think he's just kind of a science dork, so I kind of identify with him. But you throw in this family, and he copped a ton of attitude when he was there in custody for a little bit. And the family, don't get me started on this family, that was nothing but troublesome, nothing but activist, nothing but posturing. And so this whole ugly thing, and then they moved. They moved out of Irving and went to Qatar or something, which was probably a good idea. And because there were nothing but troublemakers, and the whole thing just flat out got slam dunked out of court just a few short months ago. All right. Excellent. So somebody asked. There's your answer. 842 866 660 5759. We are. Hang on a second. I'll get to the story of the judge because you had out in Taos, New Mexico. The judge said that there was not a sufficient case made. There was not a sufficient case made. That there was some devious extended plan by these people who had so horribly mistreated these kids and were you know, ostensibly training them to shoot up schools or someplace, that the government did not make a stringent enough case that devious plan existed. So these folks were eligible for bail. And bail is always tricky. It's always troublesome. We had the guy who was a DWI, right? And he killed a cop in Dallas a few weeks ago. And there was bond involved, and I think everybody gets confused about bond, confused about bail. Generally speaking, bail is the rule, and being denied bail is the exception. And the reasons for denying bail tend to be twofold. Number one, they think you're a flight risk. They think you're going to blow town, leave the country or something like that and not be available for the wheels of justice to turn. And the other thing is they think you might be a danger to the community, think you might commit a crime again. So I guess the logic here is the judge thought that these people weren't going to abuse more children, which might have been true. I don't know. But you know how we as human beings, the way we react to bail is we react to bail and to the based on how angry we are. You know, if somebody does something really terrible and we are really, really upset about it, we want them in prison. We want them there now. So I kind of understand that, too. All right. So and Holly and Plano will be with you here in just a second on that. But first up was one human being in front of you. We're in Dallas. Hi, Jim. Mark Davis. Welcome. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
Good morning, Mark.
Howdy.
Let me set the stage. I am a traditional Catholic.
Thank you.
And I am very concerned about my church.
And understandably.
Most of the news reports identify what's going on, what happened in Pennsylvania, as pedophilia. That is incorrect. It's not pedophilia. Most of it is called pederasty. And there's a fine line there, and I don't know exactly what age it breaks over, but if it's...
Well, it's not an age. It's not an age. It's puberty. And you're 100% okay. Correct. It's kind of funny. I think I have maybe seen some sloppy references to pedophile priests because that does trip off the tongue. I think I've seen predator used more often, and that would certainly be true. But your distinction is correct, and little things mean a lot. Pedophilia is a sexual appetite for children, prepubescent children. And by the way, that was pretty common in a lot of these cases. Little kids of
it
six.
Was.
Oh, totally.
I think the majority of them,
let me finish, please. This is extremely important. You brought it up and you're totally right. Pederasty is a relationship between men and boys that involve boys who are pubescent, that involve like a priest and a kid that's, you know, 15, 16, even 17, short of adulthood, and then you get into ages of consent and all that nonsense. But generally, the dividing line is puberty. Go ahead. Your point is?
Exactly. The bishops have reports done on studies done on the abuse that was done in the past, and 80% of the abuse was done by gay priests. Right now, you have probably heard about Cardinal McCarrick.
Right.
He is a sexual abuser of seminarians. That's people typically in their early, late teens, early 20s,
right.
College-age kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on, Mark.
Stand by. This is extremely important. The lines of delineation and definition are important. So you're right. First of all, the first point that should be made is that if you have a priest or anybody, and boy, I'm so sorry if we're dropping the kids off at school. This is one of those segments. So everybody, excuse me. It's a grown-up show for grown-ups about grown-ups. And I love kids, and usually it's safe, but this might be not one of your best days. Show me a pedophile with interest in a six-year-old boy, and that doesn't necessarily mean that's a gay person. Homosexuality is a sexual appetite for men when you are a man. There's an interesting gray area if you have a priest who is victimizing or showing interest in, let's say, a fairly normally maturing 16-year-old. Is that pedophilia? No. Is that evidence of burgeoning homosexuality? I guess that would be a lot closer to a relationship with an adult man than a relationship with a child. Okay, anyway, proceed.
Okay. Oh, back in March, you did an interview with Michael Voris with Church Militant.
Right, Church Militant. Uh-huh.
If you have a chance, contact him. He is on top of this, Mark, like you would not believe. He has been tracking all of what's going on with the bishops, the cover-ups, and it's not related or not unique to Pennsylvania.
Oh, Lord, no.
It's
of course
across
not.
The country. And
yeah.
Even down in South America, bishops have been put out to pasture because of what they did down there. And it is scary, Mark.
Yeah. What's the you seem steeped in the culture, the long history in Catholicism.
Yes, sir.
There is no easy wave a wand solution, but what's this? I mean, this has been in the news for decades. Why don't things come out? Why do we need 2-year investigations by the Pennsylvania Attorney General? What does keep where's the Me Too movement for this?
Michael Voris, he started a Catholic Me Too.
Yeah, that's great, and I love him, and that was a fun interview. But I'm talking broadly. Why doesn't this happen? Why hasn't it happened 1,000 times in the last 40 years? And what are the forces that prevent things from coming up?
I hate to use the term, Mark, but there's what Michael calls the gay mafia within the church, and it is large. Any estimate between 20 to 50% of the priests could be gay.
Listen, I enjoyed my time with Michael. I think that's a steaming crock. I think that is crazy. I think if that's the case, and I enjoyed my chat with Michael, I think he has hopped up about something. And when we do that, we overestimate things wildly, like 6 million homeless or, you know, 20 million people dying from secondhand smoke. Maybe this is his thing, but it still, you know, involves some type of responsibility and not mouthing off without evidence about stuff. All righty. Appreciate it. Oh, gee, many Christmas. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 849. 854 866 660 5759. So whether homelessness or secondhand smoke risks or the percentage of Muslim folks that want to kill you, just because something can be wildly overstated doesn't mean that they don't have some kind of point. So to the prior gentleman's point, is homosexuality in the priesthood probably greater than it exists in outside the priesthood? Yeah, maybe. Are there folks, or is that he mentions the gay mafia? Are there folks who, you know, within the priesthood who are trying to hush that up and make sure that there's pressure not to mention that and, you know, not to mention that at all? Yeah, could very well be. The halls of power are filled with various types of corruption. What may be at play in a lot of this, though, is there are lots and lots of folks who are so twisted off about homosexuality that they are seeking to, that they will seek to stigmatize it in virtually every way, including the link that suggests that a natural extension of homosexuality is pedophilia, something for which there is simply no basis. Now, is there somebody with an occasional sexual appetite for an 8-year-old who's going to grow up and develop and become a gay adult man? Sure. But the reverse doesn't necessarily work. And that is that a subset of homosexuality is appetite for children. That's just not true. 856. All right. In Plano, Holly, you want to talk about the judge that offered bail for the folks in that Taos, New Mexico child torture compound. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I was really upset when I heard that this judge let these people out on bail. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to point about the two reasons that bail is given. I do believe just in my gut that these people are a flight risk. On the other hand, I'm also not surprised that they got released because it's northern New Mexico. Taos and Santa Fe area is notoriously liberal. I wouldn't be surprised that this judge has a tie-in with Comey for the same reasons he let Clinton go.
Well, that's a leap, but hey. Yep.
I know, but it was something I thought about when you were talking earlier and kind of laughed over. So I guess my question to you is, do you know if they put ankle bracelets on these folks?
On the one guy, the father, who may well have supervised the death of his own son, is somebody who not only is going to be under that kind of surveillance, but may in fact be denied bond. Let me cruise through the news and come back and share exactly what this was, because the evidence, you know, if I start a sentence, it'll be trouble. So Holly, let me thank you. And I'm going to go into detail first thing right out of the 9 o'clock news on what happened with this particular judge and who sided with the defense and said that they were not shown to be a threat and allowed them unsecured bond. So how the heck does that happen? And I'll examine fully next. We're examining a lot of things today, and a whole lot of them are severely unpleasant. It will happen, because guess what? Every once in a while, really terrible people do really terrible things, and we chronicle stuff for a living around here, so here we are. But you know what? As the 8 o'clock hour comes to an end, I hope there's every blessing to your day. Lisa just dropped Ethan off at school. He doesn't consider that a blessing, but we do. It's 10th grade. It's underway. It's the first day of school in Rhonda and KC's house. It's their first two-child first day of school in a long time as Molly and Christian begin their respective grades. Elizabeth is bound this weekend for the University of Louisiana Monroe and certain stardom in sand volleyball and other great things as well. So there's just all kinds of these turnstiles of life, these rites of passage that are happening all around us in a magnificent state, in a blessed nation. So don't let any of this nonsense get you down. Just look around as we plow through, necessarily plow through some of these severe societal dysfunctions. Keep your own life on a great path and recognize that we have more blessings than we can count. Mark Davis, 859.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.